Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. There's no business like your business. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC.
Yesterday, there was a fascinating interview on The Drive with Bill Romanowski. And Romo is just one of my all-time favorite interviews to just sit back and listen to for a couple reasons. One, his energy is great. He's incredibly engaging. And also, maybe more importantly than the previous two, he just keeps it all the way real. He keeps it, yeah. He keeps it 100, right? Keeps it a buck 50, if you will. And I love listening to that guy. And yesterday he said something that I never really thought of before. He said, if you want to win a Super Bowl, you basically need five Hall of Famers. And if they're not five Hall of Famers, you need, three or four Hall of Famers and two or three others that are flirting with the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And I sat back and thought about that, and it makes a ton of sense. You go back through teams in NFL history, not all have five Hall of Famers, but most do. And the ones that don't, you have these players or characters that you say, yeah, he's in the Hall of Great. He's not a Hall of Famer, but he's in the Hall of Great type guy. And when you think about it through that context and that lens, just how far are the Broncos away from being able to legitimately believe we have five guys that are on a Hall of Fame track?
That's interesting because, you know, I'd have to go back through it. I don't know if I agree totally with that. You look at the Broncos Super Bowl team in 2015, you know, Peyton Manning.
Hall of Famer.
Where's DT? Is he Hall of Famer?
No, but he's in the Hall of very, very good, very
could
great.
Could be, right, if he plays another 5 years.
Oh, he ain't playing five more years.
Oh, okay, sorry. 3 years?
Oof.
Okay.
I'm worried about him for this year.
Never mind. Coming off the Achilles, yep. What about Aqib Talib?
Hall of Famer.
Chris Harris?
Hall of very good.
Right.
DeMarcus Ware?
DeMarcus Ware? I don't know his stats, but I would say probably Hall of Famer,
oh,
right?
Oh, he might be first ballot.
Okay.
Cowboys all-time leading sack leader. He's flirting with, got to be flirting with one of the all-time sack leaders. I don't know if it's top five or anything like that. I'll pull it up here in a second. But he is a slam dunk, reverse dunk Hall of Famer.
Right, okay. So you got
three right there. Peyton, DeMarcus Ware, Aqib Talib, Von Miller. So now you're at four Hall of Famers from that team. And multiple players in the Hall of Very Good. Demaryius Thomas, Chris Harris. So that blueprint, it follows that.
Well, if you have a Super Bowl, I mean, you should have a bunch of really good players. Hall of very good, right? How about the Philadelphia Eagles last year?
Just real quick, house cleaning, DeMarcus Ware, eighth all-time in sacks. So he could be first ballot. 138.5 total sacks. Unbelievable.
Yeah. The Eagles last year.
The Eagles. Carson Wentz, he's your Hall of Famer, right? Hall of Famer in your heart.
He is. Moonwalking in. Jason Peters will be a Hall of Famer, left tackle for sure.
Jason Peters, Hall of Famer.
You know, Fletcher Cox, where is he at? I mean, certainly Hall of Very Good. Fletcher Cox, defensive tackle there. Who else?
You know, that's an interesting one.
I mean, Alshon Jeffries, no. Jay Ajayi, he played a big role for them last year. LeGarrette Blount. How about this Zach Ertz? Still early for him, certainly.
Making a great campaign.
Right, had a historic year this year, didn't he?
He did.
When it comes to, he set an NFL all-time record for either receptions or yards.
The first one, receptions for a single season.
For a tight end.
For a tight end, yeah.
So, he's trending certainly to the Hall of Very Good.
He had 116 receptions this year.
And possibly the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
But they fall, I think they fall a little bit short.
I think they do, too.
But I think for the most part, look, if you're a Super Bowl team and you win the Super Bowl, you got a lot of really good players. And so if you say Hall of Fame or Hall of Very Good, you're going to have a bunch of Hall of Very Goods if you don't have Hall of Famers, right? I mean, that's safe to say.
And you think back,
you don't win the Super Bowl with a bunch of bums.
No. And the Eagles did it. The Eagles did it with maybe not five Hall of Famers, but 11 guys in the Hall of Very Good.
Right.
And it just popped in my head, like the Detroit Pistons who won an NBA title against the Lakers. I don't know if anyone from that team is going to go in the Hall of Fame, but Chauncey, Ben Wallace, Rip Hamilton, you get enough collection of those, Rasheed Wallace, you get enough collection of those guys, that's what reminds me of the Eagles. But I think typically that's more of the exception. You think back to the Broncos teams in the late 90s that won back-to-back Super Bowls. Definitely five Hall of Famers. Definitely, 1,000% five Hall of Famers. So how far are these Broncos away from looking in the mirror and realistically telling yourself, man, we got five guys who are trending to be Hall of Famers, or we got 10 guys that are really, really good Pro Bowl caliber guys?
You know, that's a good question. Obviously, some of this young talent, we don't know what they're going to look like next year or the year after. We have a lot of hope for these guys that they'll be hopefully in the Hall of Very Good,
mm-hmm.
or possibly the Hall of Fame. And certainly you're going to continue to need to add more pieces. And that's what the Eagles did last year. I mean, they added Alshon Jeffries on that one-year deal from Chicago. They added Jay Ajayi in a trade. They added LeGarrette Blount in free agency. So they had a lot of really good pieces that contributed to their team that they added, whether it's free agency or through the draft. And you look at a guy like Nick Foles that came in and the way he played. I mean, a guy that you're paying nothing for, that you got in free agency. Backup as your backup quarterback, and he led you to the Super Bowl. So you have to make a lot of creative moves if you don't have those studs, those five Hall of Famers. You have to have a lot of really good players, and you have to make some creative moves, because certainly right now the Broncos aren't in that category. But they could get there. It doesn't, you know, this is what makes me optimistic this year. I wasn't optimistic last year. That's why I was saying trade Von Miller. I'm a lot more optimistic about this thing turning the corner. We don't have to make drastic moves to turn the corner this year. You have the makings of a good young core. You agree with that?
I do. They have the makings
right.
of a good young core. Who would those be? Give me those names.
Courtland Sutton, Philip Lindsay, Bradley Chubb, Deshaun Hamilton.
I'm not sure about Deshaun Hamilton.
Well, I am. I like
what good, are you sure about?
Young, I don't,
what are you
I didn't
sure
say
about?
He's a great player. I think he's going to be a really good player. I think he's going to be a good player, solid football player.
Well, you know, we can also think that Jake Butt can be a good solid football player.
And I'm
going
to throw Jake Butt in there too. You're darn right.
Oh, my goodness. I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic. But to lean on that, Chubb, I'll co-sign. Courtland Sutton, co-sign. Philip Lindsay, co-sign.
Royce Freeman's another guy also I think is going to be a good young piece on this football team. You know, we'll take a look at a guy like Josie Jewell, you know, who had some struggles, some issues. How about Isaac Yiadom? What will he look like next year? You know, there's some optimism for me.
Optimism, yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That you have a good young core to build around. And then if you sprinkle in some pieces and, you know, you stumble on a quarterback.
Right.
Super Bowl, here we come.
One of those falls out of the tree that John's shaking. Hits him on the head like Isaac Newton's apple.
That's right.
Oh, gravity.
That's right.
Oh, there's a quarterback. What are you doing for the next 12 years?
Hey, just find one.
Just find one.
You got to shake trees. You got to, I don't, whatever you got to do. Let's just find one.
We got a giveaway.
Another one. That's all we're doing is giving away.
Tim McGraw.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're going to hear from Tim McGraw on Sunday.
He's got to get my cowboy boots and my cowboy hat out this
yeah?
year for a concert. Yeah.
You got both of those accessories?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I got to upgrade the hat, though.
I want to see you in a cowboy hat, cowboy boots, maybe
I've
like
only
a
worn
bottle
once.
Open on your belt.
Oh,
buckle.
Yeah. It's a Cajun cowboy. I've only worn them once. That's it. The hat, I think the hat's too small. And I tried to wear it again for something else, and the wife was like, what are you doing? I'm going to a country concert. So,
well, Tim McGraw is going to be headlining the tailgate party on Sunday during the pregame. And we've got tickets to see Tim McGraw's concert live at Cheyenne Frontier Days, July 27th. You could be there. Be the fourth caller right now at 303-713-1043 to win a four-pack of tickets to Tim McGraw at Cheyenne Frontier Days, July 27th. For more info, go to cfdrodeo.com. That's cfdrodeo.com. Sounds like a rip-roaring time. All right, Stoke, could the Broncos not be done tapping into the relationship with the San Francisco 49ers? I'll explain next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cult of personality.
Good stuff right there now. Yesterday, Mike Kliss tweeted, John Elway has good relationship with 49ers duo of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, who obviously cooperated regarding Broncos hirings of Rich Gangarello and T.C. McCartney.
T.C.
Who?
See, I like T.C. Like, I can't say, you know, Scangarello, but
you
like,
just did. You huh? get, you, I got to give you a lot of credit.
Getting better?
The first couple days, it seemed like you were trying to say whatever I had you try to say a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And something I couldn't about a do toy it. Boat.
Yeah. But TC. I like TC.
TC. Most yeah. people can handle TC, yeah. so that doesn't surprise yeah. me that you like that.
No, I just like I like saying that. TC.
TC.
Yeah.
So, let me start over here. John Elway has good relationship with Niners duo John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, who obviously cooperated regarding Broncos hirings of Rich Scangarello and TC McCartney. Who knows? At rate they're going, maybe number 10 draft pick becomes the number 2 pick.
What? Whoa.
I don't think this is just throwing something at a wall. I believe if the reports are as true that a lot of folks believe that they are, you know, it's been called the worst kept secret in the NFL that
right.
John Elway loves Drew Lock. And I guess from what I heard that it turned into somewhat of a punchline at the Senior Bowl. That, like, Drew Lock was going to the Broncos, come hell or high water. And we know that those teams at the top of the draft who have a quarterback may be willing to move back a little bit in the best interest of building their football team. And the profile does seem to fit the San Francisco 49ers.
It does. They have their quarterback. And so, unless they see a generational talent sitting there, why wouldn't you look to make a move back and collect more assets, whether that be players or more draft picks? So certainly you have a relationship between Elway and the 49ers. That gets me excited. That means you love one of these guys.
Correct.
And that gets me excited.
And you would have to show that love. Like, love is a verb. That's an action. Right?
Where are we going here? Let's keep this thing simple.
It should be here.
Stop using those English terms.
Like, love is a verb, right? So it's an action. You have to act, and you're going to have to give up a lot.
That's
moving
right.
Moving from 10 to 2, this is no small thing.
Right. It's not moving from, you know, pick 82 to pick 72. It's, I mean, when you move in the first round that many picks to get up to the number 2 overall pick, you're going to have to give up a lot. I mean, what would that be? whatever it is, if you pick the right guy, it's worth it.
Doesn't matter.
You're not picking a outside linebacker pass rusher when you make this move. You're making this move to pick a quarterback. And I'm fine with it because that tells me that they love this guy. But if you make this move and you miss, now that's scary. That's really scary. But I like the proposition and I like the thought of making this type of move, and that's telling me everybody is on the same page with how much they like this guy, and you're going to select a quarterback, and I can get excited about that.
I'll tell you what, you talking about excitement? Going into this draft.
Who is it? That would be the question. And I don't. You hear a lot of talk about Drew Lock and this and that. And
the season of lies come early?
You just, you know, is it the Baker Mayfield effect? Is it Kyler Murray? I mean, he is the wild card here.
Could you imagine?
I could. Yes, I could. I could imagine.
Really?
I could.
Yep. I can't get there with you.
I can. I can go there.
It just doesn't strike me as something that John would do, that he's going to move up to number two. You're pushing all your chips in here for a 5'10" quarterback. Now, yep. I'm not saying that he shouldn't think like this. I just don't think that he is. But
I would say it's probably not that guy. You know, I agree with you there, but I could get myself to go there because if you're John, hey, I got to do something different. These prototypical quarterbacks that I've been trying to take, these tall guys, they haven't worked. I need to change my thought process here. And this guy is special, special. So that's the guy I want. He's got it.
I wonder if Rich Gangarello has some semblance of a vote, that he goes down the hall. In fact, he goes upstairs.
I'm sure he has a vote, but I don't know how much that vote matters. That would be something. That could get, if you move up to two, you're taking a quarterback, and whether it's Drew Lock, Kyler Murray, or Haskins, we haven't really talked about Haskins. He's like an afterthought here. But I could get excited about any of those guys because that tells me, and I know the last time they moved up for a quarterback, they missed on it, but look, it happens, okay? I think they messed that whole process up. There was a lot that went wrong there, and I don't think they make that mistake again, especially if they move up to number two. I mean, you're going to do your due diligence like no other.
You would think?
I don't think they're going to miss again if they make that type of move.
What if
and
John
it gets me excited.
What if John moved up to two and grabbed Rashawn Gary? You said you need a day to pout. Would you take a year to pout?
Yeah, it would.
Would
yeah,
you
a
pout
year.
For 3 hours
yes.
a day?
Yes. Yeah.
5 days a week.
Yeah. I'd be done doing radio.
Oh, don't leave me. All right, we got some more stuff to give away.
We got more?
Like all we're doing is just
giveaway, giveaway, giveaway.
We've got $250 gift cards to Wingstop, and shout out to Wingstop for treating us to lunch today. We got $250 gift cards to Wingstop. Be the fourth and fifth caller right now at 303-713.
A lot of rings you're going to be able to get.
1043. Do it for the whole family.
That's right.
Give some to the neighbor.
Game. For yeah, the big game.
For the big game. For the big football game.
For the big one.
For the big game on Sunday. It's that time of day. Stokely stoked up. We're getting hyped next.
What's Brandon Stokely?
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Stoked up about today.
Zach, listen to Bill Romanowski talk about Von Miller.
Von Miller can give 10% less and still be probably one of the better defensive sack artists in the game.
Right, right.
You know, but another 10%,
you think there's more
he's
there?
Von Miller. And another 10% after that, he's the best ever played.
So
the
how
game.
Do you get him there?
You know what? That's... That,
or can you not get him there because it's not in his DNA?
You know, what's in his DNA is Von Miller that has been showing up week in and week out. And I have a lot of respect for
right,
it.
Right, right.
I do.
Zach, if you want to get that extra 10% from Von, I think it's on the new coaching staff. You got to find a way to get your best player to find that next gear. And sometimes it can be a tricky situation for a new coaching staff when you're talking about a guy that's the face of your organization. I think it's on Vic Fangio to sit Von down face-to-face, man-to-man, and talk to him about taking his game. Take your game to that next level, Von, and that's what I'm stoked up about.
Brandon Stokely's stoked up.
That's what I'm talking about!
This has become quite a theme, hasn't it? This has become quite a theme.
I mean, it's not us just talking about it.
No, you can go to the top of the food chain, head of the snake. First thing that John Elway said when the season was over, one of the first things, is that Vaughn, we need more out of Vaughn.
Yep.
They hired the new coach. First thing that he says, well, Vaughn can be, he actually, Vic went about it a little bit more, I don't want to say clumsily, but he basically indirectly said that Vaughn wasn't on that Khalil Mack level, that he wasn't one of the great, great players in the game, that they can get more and that he could be. And now you got Bill Romanowski saying, look, 10% more effort out of Vaughn. In another separate quote, he said, you know, because Big Al asked him, he said, man, you Romo, you played with this intensity and just reckless abandon. He said, you know, can we get Vaughn to play like that or something along those lines? And he said, look, if Vaughn played like that, then he'd be better than Lawrence Taylor.
And that's a 10% that, you know, when you watch Vaughn play and it's kind of waiting to see what's happening instead of just going all out and figuring out along the way. Right. I you know, you have those plays throughout the course of the game. And I don't know if he's getting frustrated by the double teams, the chips and all those things, but he's reacting to what's going on, playing a little patty cake with the right tackle and just kind of seeing and maybe falling into a sack instead of going 100%. Right. And I want to see more of that from Vaughn. And obviously other people have seen it. And you have the drop-off, and you have the games where he just kind of disappears. And I think if he has that mentality of 100% every single time, full speed, and when I'm tired, I'm coming off the field.
Yeah.
We'll give you some oxygen. Don't worry. We're not going to turn it off. It'll be there. Then if you do that, yeah, you can take your game to the next level. And even if you're not getting sacks, you know what you're doing. You're setting up plays for later in the game.
Sure.
You're setting up plays for the next week.
Sure.
You know, I don't see a lot of that stuff from Vaughn. Sometimes putting his hands in the guy's chest and just running him over. And he can do that very easily. So instead of going up there and saying, you know what, this guy's chipping me, this guy's doubling me, I'm just going to kind of play patty cake here with the guy and just kind of react to what's going on. You know what, I don't care if a guy's chipping me. I'm going right down the middle of that right tackle.
Mm. And once in a while, he'll show you that he can do it.
Right. He can do it. That's the thing. I'm not asking him to do anything that he can't do. He's got the low center of gravity. These guys are scared that he's going to beat them around the edge. So they're usually off balance. I want to see more of that. A little bit more nasty from Vaughn.
Mm.
We don't need to be buddy buddies.
But
right? A little nasty. I got you. I know where you're going with this. But when you get on the football field, you got to flip that switch sometimes and just be a little nasty. Like, take this thing to the next level. And if I'm the coach, that's what I'm asking him to do. Hey, how about a spin move every now and then? I mean, Vaughn can do it all. I mean, he's the host of the pass rushing summit. He's got all the moves. He's got all the tools and the tool belt.
He's the professor.
I want to see him being used. And even when they're not successful, they're going to pay dividends later on in the game, 2 or 3 weeks, when these guys see these moves and say, uh-oh, goodness gracious, what am I going to do about this Vaughn Miller? He's not just going to run around the edge. I'm going to need more help than just a chip. I mean, he's got the spin move where he can go back inside. He's got the bull rush, and he's using it all the time now. Now, that's a scary thought. And that's something I would like to see this year from Vaughn.
I was about to say something, and you were like, no, I know what you're going to say, but you didn't.
I didn't know what you were going to say.
No.
Really?
It's unbelievable. You didn't know what I was going to say.
I think I did know what you were going to say.
What?
But I forgot.
So what does it matter? Look, you said I need a little bit more nasty.
Yeah, but you're going to say that's not Vaughn. That's not his DNA. That's what you were going to say.
Bingo.
Yeah. See, I didn't know what you were going to say.
Can you at, you know, 30 years old, and Vaughn will be 30 here in, 2 months, the next 2 months, less than that. Can you at 30, it's very similar to a question I asked you the other day with Case Keenum. Can you at 30 years old, after you've been doing something for 8 years, 9 years, whatever it is, and you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to be more, like, I'm going to change a personal characteristic of mine on the football field. I think if that was going to happen, it would have happened. And Vaughn's a great player without it. but you almost tease yourself. What if you were a bad dude? Vaughn's a good dude. Vaughn's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Vaughn wants to be everyone's friend. He called himself the people's champ.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Can he change? And to me, that once again would fall on the coaches to help him maybe change his mindset a little bit, change his thought process. And you might not be able to do it. If you can't do it, you can't do it. But I just want, I want to see that extra 10% that Bill Romanowski was talking about. But I think as a coach, you know, you sit him down a little bit and you bring up some of those plays where he might have been able to take a shot at somebody and didn't. Say, hey, I want you, we know you are the ultimate nice guy, but I want you playing more towards crossing that line than where you are right now. Maybe he's receptive to it, maybe he's not. But I think as a coach, you try to get him to realize that a little bit more. And then maybe he doesn't even realize. Say, hey, I want you to play a little bit more nasty. And point up some nasty plays in the NFL. I want you to play like this. We'll take a couple 15-yarders. I'll take a couple of those this year from you. I want you to play a little bit more nastier. And I want that extra 10% from you. And I think as a... I think Vaughn is that type of player that would be open and receptive to hearing that. And with a new coaching staff, I think that is on them to try to get that extra 10% and get that little bit of nasty from Vaughn.
Well, that is an interesting challenge for Vic Fangio. That is an interesting challenge. And I'm not saying it can't be done, but you think about your own life. I mean, can you flip a switch like we're asking Vaughn and be something that you're naturally not? That's a tough challenge, especially when he's a damn good football player without that.
You know what great coaches do? They get you to do what you don't want to do sometimes. They get you to be somebody maybe that you're not quite that person. That's what great coaches do. And there's different ways to accomplish that. But certainly... great coaches find ways to get the most out of you. And I think Vaughn still, like Bill Romanowski said, that extra 10%, right? Vaughn still has room to get better and be a better player. So for me, it's the coach's job to make Vaughn realize that and to get him to accomplish that and to play like that every single game.
I like this one from Luke in the mountains. He said, would you compare Von Miller to Randy Moss in that Moss could have been the best wide receiver ever if he just gave 10% more? That's not a bad analogy. It's not a bad one. It's not perfect. It's not perfect congruent.
It's not perfect. I mean, you look at Randy Moss and his time, you know, with towards the end there, I think in Minnesota and in Oakland, where he just kind of didn't seem like he was a great teammate. Didn't seem like he was all about winning. Where right. I think Vaughn's a little bit different than Randy. Now, when Randy got in New England, he was obviously a lot different. There's some comparisons, I would say, between those two. But I wouldn't want to categorize Vaughn and Randy Moss in the same category when it comes to those things.
Yeah, it's totally different reasons, but I understand what Luke in the Mountains
right.
was trying
yep,
to
yep,
say.
Yep, I think he's kind of hitting it.
And the biggest personality difference for me when you throw those two in the same sentence, Randy Moss cared about himself. Von Miller clearly cares about others.
Right.
Von cares about others.
Yeah.
And you say like, hey, you know, I want you to get that 15-yard personal foul on someone. For the same reason that he is the people's champ is the same reason why I don't think he wants to knock someone's head off. It's just not in his personal DNA. The last 15-yard personal foul I remember Von Miller getting was him joking around with the guy that he's supposed to be knocking his block off.
Right, Tyrod Taylor.
Week three last year, or 2017 four. Season.
They were 2-1, I think, going on the road.
They were, was it week four?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I remember they were, I thought they were winning football team. Maybe not.
No, they got beat by Buffalo. They were 2-0, got beat by Buffalo week three, then beat the Raiders week four, I think.
There you go.
Whatever.
And that play cost them. It's like, I'd rather you just hit the guy late.
Yeah.
Kept their drive alive. They were having a punt.
And they went down and scored.
Yep. Game over.
Although I really do like Vaughn, something that he said, he joined Pro Football Talk today, and I really liked his take on players, active players, in comparison to retired players when it comes to wearing Super Bowl rings.
You know, I've thought about it. If you've won a Super Bowl and you're still playing, you know, I feel like the ultimate goal is to get more rings. So I'm still playing. I have a Super Bowl ring, but I'm trying to get more rings. I can't really just hang my hat on the past one. If you're a former player and you're out the league, you know, the Super Bowls that you've won, that's everything that you have. So now you should definitely wear the Super Bowl rings after your career.
I love that take.
I do, too.
Hey, if you're active and you're wearing your Super Bowl ring, it's sort of like you're content.
I'm good.
I got this.
I got this. I do. I like that approach from Vaughn. I like that thought process. Look, I'm trying to get another one. I'm not done yet. I'm still playing. So I'm not content with just one ring.
And I do, and I've said this into this microphone multiple times this year. I do think there was a little bit too much of that with these Broncos the last 2 years. And I've said the statement, I know that it sounds backwards and counterintuitive, but the Broncos may have too many Super Bowl champions. Guys who have been to the mountaintop, guys who have gotten paid after that. And if the hunger and attention to detail was the same as it was before you got there.
Yeah, and that's real. You know, that's always real, especially when you have a drop off like the Broncos have. And I think sometimes when you've been in a place for a long time, things get stale. Yeah, you get into a certain routine. And sometimes it takes you, whether it's maybe an injury, to kind of wake you up and realize how good you have it and appreciate what you have. Or changing teams and changing organizations kind of, you know, refreshes you and re-energizes you.
Right.
But sometimes if you've been in a place and you won the Super Bowl and you're in the same place, you're kind of like, oh, you just go through the motions.
Yeah.
And it takes an injury or something drastic for you to kind of wake up a little bit.
Man, that is so true. And that goes for life too, doesn't it?
That's it.
Sometimes the people who are most important in your life or you're at home, your sacred spot, you have a tendency to put your guard down, maybe not appreciate them as much as you should until something serious happens.
Right.
And then you remember how important they actually really are, as opposed to when you meet someone new at work, you're turned on. Hey, this is the best version of myself.
Right.
Vaughn also said when talking to Pro Football Talk that he feels like everyone's gunning for the Broncos.
I think that's just the effect of playing with the Denver Broncos. Before we won a Super Bowl, I still felt like we had a target on our back. We had Peyton Manning. We had a lot of great players. We had a very good team for a long time. So I've always felt like the Broncos had the target on their back. Even now, you know, not making it to the playoffs, I still feel like teams want to, you know, come in and show what type of franchise they are. So,
do you feel like people are gunning for the Broncos still?
Not anymore.
Doesn't feel like that.
Right. Well, I mean, it's not like we just beat a Peyton Manning-led Broncos team that wins 12 games every year. You know, that's a feather in your cap. We just beat the Denver Broncos. They haven't been good in 2 years.
Yeah.
They've changed coaches year after year. I mean, that doesn't do anything for you, right? I mean, like, if you beat the Patriots with Tom Brady, yeah, you did something. Okay, but once Tom Brady's gone, it's like, what is that going to mean as much anymore?
Right, just because the logo, maybe, on the helmet's the same.
You know, maybe if Bill's there, you still have something. But other than that, look, it's not the same. And you know, you don't have the same mystique around you anymore.
Sure.
Okay, you're not a winning football team. Guys, now they don't remember 3 years ago when you won a Super Bowl.
They don't care. Okay,
right. That's a long time ago. What are you talking about? Y'all stunk the last couple of years. Does nothing for us when we beat the Broncos. It's just another win. But sometimes if you beat a team, you know, like Vaughn's thinking about, yeah, it feels good when you beat a really good football team.
Yeah.
But that was the old Broncos. That hadn't been the Broncos the last couple of years.
You beat the Broncos last year. You beat Vance Joseph, Trevor Siemian, and the Denver Broncos. Where Cincinnati can come in and do it, the Giants with no one playing can do it, the Jets can do it. It's so easy, a caveman can do it. You won 11 games over 2 years. It's more likely than not that you will beat the Broncos.
If you don't, you know, what's wrong with you?
Right. I mean,
that's where the Broncos are at now.
Right, right. Vaughn Miller, you and I were just having this conversation about, hey, can Vic Fangio challenge Vaughn Miller the way that he may need to be challenged? This is Vaughn talking to Pro Football Talk on him wanting a coach who wants to coach you.
you know, you can always focus on technique. We got a great coaching staff that has come in, Vic Fangio and all the guys, and they're excited to coach. They're excited to coach me, so I'm excited to get coached. And he's had a lot of success with a lot of great pass rushers, from Khalil Mack to Alden Smith, and to cornerbacks as well, to Richard Sherman and all those guys. We got cornerbacks and we got pass rushers in Denver, so I'm get with those guys and whatever they need me to be. I'm all ears. You want a coach that wants to coach you, and Vic and the guys, they want to coach me, so I'm excited about it.
Whatever you need me to be, I'm all ears.
And a lot of people say that, right? I mean, everybody, who's going to say, no, don't coach me? But I actually, I believe it from Von. I think he's telling the truth, and he does want to be coached, and he can be coached hard. You know, there's a difference. Some guys, you can't correct them. You can't correct their mistakes. You can't be very critical of them. They can't handle that. But I think Von is a different guy. I think he does welcome that, and he's receptive to those things.
Well, he said so. He said, look, I'm a coach's dream.
For me, I like to think I'm a coach's dream. I like to think, no matter what coach that comes in to coach us, you know, I'm going to try to make his job as easy as possible. I'm going to do whatever I can to be the best player I could possibly be, and I'm going to try to be the best leader I could possibly be to bring guys up with me. And whatever coach that I have, whatever he needs me to do, I'm going to do it 100%. And like I said before, I like to think I'm a coach's dream. Whatever they need me to do, I'm going to do it.
He's a hard guy not to like, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Gotta love Von. I'd like to get 10% more from Von, like Romo said. But I everything that he says is the truth. I mean, his teammates love him. His coaches, you know, love him. I mean, obviously a really good player, but I think you can coach him up a little bit harder. And sometimes coaches look at him and all the great things that he does, and you're not as critical maybe as you should be. You let something slide.
Yeah.
And then that's when you get, you know, Von not making any plays for a full game. Nothing. No tackles, no nothing. It's like shutout, which should never happen for Von Miller. You know, and I would like to know what was said. What was said? It was anything said to Von after that game. Like, what happened here, Von? We can't have this ever again. I don't know what happened. That's like having an all-time great receiver not have any catches. And certainly a receiver has less control over it than a guy like Von Miller. Find the ball, go make a play.
Right. That was the Oakland game.
Right.
December 24th.
So, but I just wonder, like, if anything was said to him, or if anything was said to Von at all. Was he held accountable for those times where...
That's a great question.
He didn't. And wasn't given everything he has every single play. Was that highlighted, or was it just looked over?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think Von wants to be held accountable. I think he's that type of personality. I think he wants to be held accountable. He's not one of these you can't tell me nothing guys.
Right.
And even the biggest, baddest dogs still want a master. And I know that's not a perfect analogy, but you look at these guys who are as talented as Von. Who can really tell Von? Who can really tell Von that has the equity and experience something that he doesn't already know? But he doesn't approach it like that. He's telling you, he's waving you, coach me. Coach me. I'm your dream. I'm all ears. He was also asked about if everything was good between Elway and his mom.
Oh.
And this is what he said.
Everything is good. And my mom, what makes her who she is her emotions. She's never missed, you know, a football game that I've ever played in my life, from Little League all the way up to the National Football League. So when she, you know, heard what Mr. Elway said, I don't think that what Mr. Elway said was too harsh in the first place. My mom, you know, being the mom that she is, she took it the wrong way. And, I wouldn't even say it's the wrong way. She took it how she took it, and she felt some type of way about it, and she expressed herself just like anybody else would do. The only difference is between her and anybody else is she's my mom.
Which we understood.
Right. Yep. She's going to stick up for her son. And, you know, you piss mom off. Then
you piss mom off.
Right. Then mom's going to speak.
You're going to hear
usually,
about it.
Right. That's usually what happens. But obviously she has a platform, and it becomes a big deal because you're Von Miller's mom. So big deal? No.
No.
Not a big deal. Von, you know, he's taking his stride. I guarantee you John's not losing sleep over it. So it is what it is. It was kind of funny at the time. I'm just glad she never came after me.
Seriously. On a more positive note, this is Von Miller as in words of encouragement on the way out here for Broncos country.
You know, it hasn't always been too dark. and it hasn't always been light. You know, the good times, you know, are good times. The bad times are bad times. Every single franchise is going to deal with them. Every single player is going to deal with ups and downs as well. And for Broncos country, to stay true, we've been here before. We've got a lot of great players. We've got a lot of great young players that are ready to come play for us. A new and exciting coaching staff that's ready to come coach. And all we need now is Broncos country to stay Broncos country and come back for the 2019 season ready to go, and we'll be ready to go as well.
There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely. Look, I'm a lot more optimistic about the Denver Broncos right now than I was a year ago. When I thought they had to take drastic measures a year ago and trade Von Miller. Now I don't think they have to do that. Just continue the path that you're on, have another great draft, and hopefully along the way you find a quarterback. And this thing can turn around really quickly. A lot more optimistic right now than a year ago.
Get your Super Bowl prediction tomorrow.
That's it.
Can't wait. Can't wait. The Drive is coming up next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.